Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Today, we are going to conclude our discussion on writer's block. And I know that this has been a little bit painful for some of us to listen to because we don't like thinking about writer's block. And that's okay. It's here when you need it. We have been studying this partly because so many of the writers that we coach deal with it. And the topics that we have covered range from the is it a myth or not? And then we talked about who can and can't get it or who is susceptible to it. We talked about what it looks like and when it's necessary. We talked about the Bermuda Triangle of anti-productivity that can sometimes cause writer's block. And then, of course, the last episode we did was The Office, which was a way that I broke my own writer's block. And I'm hopeful that it's helpful for you as well, just as a thought. But the way that I want to finish this is in talking about why having metaphors for understanding how our brain works is so important to knowing how to break our writer's block. And one of the pieces echoes back to the, is it necessary? And I talk about this a little bit in the writer's block book, which of course I now have a paperback copy of because it's been long enough since it released that I finally have paperback copies, and that's exciting to me. But I talk about this a little bit in the writer's block book. Sometimes it's necessary to be blocked. And let me tell you, when I do coaching calls, I see writer's block everywhere, like literally everywhere. So many of our calls are because people are blocked in some way, either in their writing or their business or something. And so I figured if the burnout book and the burnout series was so helpful to everyone, then the writer's block series will be even more helpful because we see it constantly. And I was talking to one of my colleagues about why it wasn't catching the way that I expected that it would, because we were having so much we see it so much, but we weren't seeing the response, right? Like people weren't sharing, they weren't talking about it, which is fine because that doesn't need to happen. But it was just interesting to see the difference between the way the burnout stuff was received, which we'd also been seeing a lot of, and then the way the writer's block was received. And he said the most interesting thing to me. He said, writer's block is the impotence of the writer's life, and no one wants to talk about impotence. And I was like, mind blown. Like it totally blew my mind for a second because the response that we saw, that's exactly what it was. I would get a lot of emails. I would get a lot of Patreon messages and Facebook messages, but I wasn't getting people physically talking about it on social media the way that we had seen before. And it was really fascinating because it kind of helped me to understand why the writer's block book is helpful or the writer's block series is helpful. It's like it's there when you need it, but it's not something we're going to shout from the rooftops about. And that's okay. We have other things we shout from the rooftops about around here. And I get why writer's block is a tough topic to deal with. But that analogy, right, of writer's block is to writers what ED is to men made so much sense to me because it's that feeling that you can't do this thing that you want to do, right? And so that makes the whole response feel more understandable. And when I had that moment of understanding, it made me realize how important the metaphors are. And we do this a lot, right? We talk about bread machines. We talk about thought babies. We talk about, castle circles for relators. Like all of what we do is trying to translate what's happening inside of your brain into language that's so easy to understand. You don't have to have inside jargon knowledge to be able to understand it. So I want to talk about a couple of those metaphors today about writing specifically when writer's block can be a necessary thing to the future of your writing process, right? And so we're going to put this in the writer's block series, but I'm probably going to also link it up to a couple of other series. This Strengths podcast series probably will get linked to it as well, because we're going to talk about some things that are necessary to some of the brain functions that we have as writers who have specific personality traits that are making us not understand why it's sometimes good to be blocked. And that's going to sound a little intense for some of us who don't like to be blocked. And I'm not saying you should like it. I'm not saying anyone should like it. But we want to talk about why, when it is something that should be happening, that it's okay to accept it and try to move through it and not be frustrated or think we're stupid or there's something wrong with us, right? So today we're going to talk about a couple of really important metaphors, the highways and the train tracks. And so let's talk first about the train tracks. Generally speaking, and again, this is extremely generalized, but generally speaking, most writers have something important in common. They have a lot of thinking strengths. And that means that the things that we make up, the stories that we make up, come from inside of our brain and in a way specifically that our brains are wired for success, right? That's the important part, is that success wiring, that alignment, super important. So when you are wired for success in a way that you need to think in order to have success, then that means that there are some train tracks in your head that are like thought processes. And this happens more specifically, intellection is the biggest one, but also strategic and input and learner context can have this. I see it in almost all thinking strengths. The futuristic is the one that doesn't really fit this pattern, but there's no reason that it doesn't. It's just, I don't see it. So it might. But I see it in almost all of the thinking strengths. And this is the metaphor. If you imagine a train yard where there are multiple different train tracks, and sometimes there are more trains than the tracks can handle, right? So the trains line up behind and then they go through, they pass through to their destination, and then the different trains are driven onto different tracks, right? But if you imagine the tracks lined up side by side so that there are a certain number of train tracks in your yard, in the yard of your brain. And some of those train tracks are filled, when you have thinking strengths, with automatic things. And I don't mean automatic like breathing or heartbeats. I mean things like if you have children, you're probably always thinking about your kids on some level subconsciously. That vigilance is biological. It's probably always there for you. So there's one track full. If you have a spouse, there's probably something going on in your relationship with that spouse, either positive or negative, almost all the time of your life, right? If you have a very, very close friend, there's probably, that track is probably full. So if you imagine that you have seven tracks, and just living life, there's already some of those tracks that are full. And granted, some of those three, let's call them three relationship tracks, for instance, the trains might be on or off at any time, but generally speaking, there's always a train there of some kind. If you have a day job, there's a track full. If you have a volunteer position, there's a track that's on and off full, right? So then we're getting fewer and fewer tracks to really deal with things like writing, or let's say the thinking that has to occur in order for the writing to be able to take place. So let's say you just have two tracks that are on and off full, where your writing is sometimes there and sometimes something else, like a PTA meeting or, you know, whatever. But there's always something going on in the back of your head when you have these thinking strengths, more so, like I said, with intellection than any others, but so on some level with all. So you have these two free tracks, and then let's say COVID hits, right? So all of a sudden, maybe more of your tracks are full of trying to think about that kind of a thing. That means that the tracks that are priority
are going to shift the tracks that are not priority, shift the trains off so that they go wait for their turn to be on the track. And you have to be able to complete whatever thinking it is that you're doing and reach certainty or complete the thought loop or circle or find enough information if you have input or learner or understand the patterns if you have context, whatever it is that you're looking for, right? But the train tracks are full with whatever you're thinking about. And then the book gets shifted off to a waiting track where it's not able to be actively moving and processing. And then let's say your worry about COVID may go away quickly. And then that train, you know, goes and sits somewhere else and you can bring the book back. And this is happening constantly, right? This is why with a lot of intellection, input, learner, and context people specifically, you will get overwhelmed very easily when you're taking information in or trying to process things, because you are trying to reach certainty. You're trying to clear a train track with something by using whatever strength you have, and there's too much information coming at you, and so you get overwhelmed quickly. The other piece that often happens with that overwhelm feeling with intellection especially is that you want to reach certainty with a particular thought process before you're able to make that train get off the tracks onto its destination and then bring another train to think about, train of thought. So the reason this metaphor is so important is that a lot of us experience this overwhelm when things come at us very quickly. And instead of getting frustrated with it, now because I have this metaphor and I understand how my thinking strengths work, I can say, okay, my tracks are full. Like, I need to go and think about some of this stuff and get the trains off so that I can actually have a thought process about something unrelated to these, let's say, seven subjects. And the point isn't to number how many train tracks we have, because I'm also fairly convinced that at certain times we can make more tracks appear because they're necessary, but it's just not all the time. It depends on other factors, right? So, but if we assume that there's only a certain number of things that we can be thinking about at one time, then when our tracks are full, we can't expect ourselves to be thinking about the novel or whatever, because we have to clear some of those tracks. And the problem is we keep trying to push more trains on to a number of tracks that means that they won't run. Like, the trains won't run, because what we want them to do is come in, get filled, move out. That's what we want them to do. And when we try to push too many trains onto the tracks, we're making ourselves unable to do the processing that needs to happen. So we need to take a step back, process what we have to process, get the book back onto the train tracks, and then start letting it intellect. And for some of us, we've realized intellection is much, much more subconscious for some of us than it is for others. There are some people who have very high intellection, which is, and it's very much in a balcony, which allows them to basically not have to sit and think, because they've learned how to make themselves incubation times that do what they need to do at other points. That's a very balanced and balcony intellection, which makes me really happy to see. Because I think a lot of us get frustrated with how much time we have to spend intentionally thinking about something. And that is the piece that I think will be helped by understanding the train tracks, where we can let them flow subconsciously and let ourselves come to the certainty that we need to come to, right? So why is this important to understand for writer's block? Because a lot of writer's block for people with high thinking strengths is there's too many tracks busy. There are too many trains. And you're trying to think about something and allow yourself and force yourself to write when you haven't allowed yourself to incubate the thoughts that will make you write. And so sometimes that block is necessary to remind us that we need to do that incubation, or we need to move some of those trains away. So that's the metaphor of the train tracks. Super important, if you haven't heard that before, to internalize that for yourself and start thinking about your own thought processes in terms of those train tracks. So the other metaphor that's really important is the highway of the novel. Like your book is a highway. And this is more important for the achiever, activator, arranger, focus, competition, discipline, consistency, style of thinking, right? Which a ton of writers have all of those strengths. And so this metaphor is one that can lead to more frustration for people who don't understand that this is the way that book creation works, that they don't want it to work this way. But it works this way. So I hate to sound callous, but so let's all accept that it works this way. It'll make our lives so much easier. So for most people, the process of creating a novel is like driving on a highway, like getting in a car, starting at mile marker number one, and the car is your brain, right? So starting at mile marker number one and then driving from one to, let's say, 100. That's the process of writing a novel. And the way that we conceive of this work is that every mile on the highway is work that needs to be done, driven in the car of your brain down to the end destination where you get to exit at a completed novel. The problem is that, of course, there are activities that we have to do that aren't writing words that still need to get done. And the way that a lot of us with high executing and influencing strengths think about those things that are not writing words is we think of them as exits off of the highway. So like if I need to go and think about something in my achiever brain, I'm conceiving of that going and thinking as being a pause from the real work of writing the book. And I'm exiting the highway of productivity in order to go and do some worthless activity, right? Like thinking. That is the way that thinking gets talked about in an awful lot of productivity circles. And I want us to really feel the necessity of this. Not every mile on your book highway is going to be writing words. Not every mile of productivity on your book highway is going to be writing words. Even though the words on the page are the thing that you sell, that is true, and you can't sell the book that doesn't have words on the page, that's absolutely true, but you can't make the words on the page sometimes without walking or driving those miles that are not writing words. And this is the super important metaphor to understand. Thinking, processing, plotting, brainstorming, at whatever it is that you see as an exit from productivity, you have to learn how to see those as necessary miles to drive. In terms of, if you do not think, you will not be able to drive that next mile that is words. So if each mile is a different activity, the first mile might be thinking, the second mile might be words, but you can't drive mile two without driving mile one. It is a linear journey that has to happen in order for you to get to the product at the end. The thinking times and processing times are not exits from productivity. They are part of the productivity. In fact, the higher of the thinking and processing strengths that you have, the more you have something like a high deliberative, a high connectedness that are not processing strengths, high empathy, high harmony, right? The more you have some of those strengths, the more you need to walk or drive those miles intentionally in order to get yourself to the miles that you're going to write. So if the thinking miles and the writing mile, or the thinking miles and the planning miles and the processing miles don't happen, the writing miles won't happen either. So when we do things like play a video game because we need to stop consciously thinking about something, that playing the video game is sometimes a mile on the productivity highway. And this is super important. It's okay for the achievers, focuses, competitions, et cetera, to be activators, to be very frustrated with the fact that it has to happen this way. But the more frustration you feel about it, the less productive you're going to be. And so this is why I think the highway is so important. Sometimes you have to drive miles that are not writing words in order to get to the end of the book. And if that's the way that you are, accepting that that happens is the most important thing you can do for your productivity, maybe ever. I would say that is at least 50% of what we do in the Write Better Faster class that I teach, which is specifically looking at productivity systems in our alignment life, not just writing faster, right? Because it's better, faster, hyphenated. The whole point is to get you to the best possible place where you're producing the best product that you can in the fastest amount of time that you can, or the amount of time that it should take you to get that done, right? We want efficiency, but we want quality. And so that is super important. And then the other part of better, faster for me also is that exponential capacity that you have when you work in your strengths, where you are the most likely to become successful by using those success patterns that have been being built in you since you were born. And some of them are biological as well, right? So like the more you use them, the better, faster you get at them, and not better, comma, faster. Again, remember better hyphen faster. And that is a very important difference. I don't see those as separate things. Getting better without getting faster is not a good thing, in my opinion. Getting faster without getting better is not a good thing, in my opinion, either. And I don't think it's good for anybody. But anyway, I clearly get off on a tangent about that alignment concept, and that's important to me, clearly. But these two metaphors are the most important parts of understanding when writer's block is a necessary thing, when the exits off of the highway are a necessary thing. And we want to get as good as we can at telling the difference between when I'm exiting the highway, because some video games or some stopping in writing or whatever, some of it is actually an exit from the highway, because I can see what I need to write and I just don't want to sit down and do it, right? When you hit that part of the resistance, you definitely want to do the 5-second rule and get yourself back to the computer. But when you don't know what's going to happen next and you can't see it, or there's something that's stopping you because there's a piece that's out of alignment or there's something that's missing, you need to go and think about that, which means you're still on the highway heading in the right direction. So until you can see, or until you can feel or know what to write, you're still on the highway when you're thinking and when you're processing, even when you're quote unquote procrastinating, which it bothers me that we think so negatively about procrastination. And if you haven't yet watched our video early on in season one, where we QTP'd the procrastination is bad phrase, you need to go watch that, because that's a very important thing to question. You want to question that premise. Procrastination is not bad for everyone. It's not bad for every brain, and not every type of procrastination is bad, period. Like, there are some procrastination activities that you should absolutely be doing often. So that is the end of our writer's block series. I hope that if you haven't seen the other episodes, that you'll go back and watch them. They're good. I like them a lot. But again, I keep coming back to that. Writer's block is to writers what impotence is to men. It is extremely uncomfortable sometimes to talk about writer's block, but we have to do it, because if we're experiencing it, it's not going to go away unless we deal with it, right? So this is your prescription, if you're experiencing writer's block, to go watch the rest of the writer's block episodes. I think it'll be helpful. Okay, a couple of quick announcements. If you liked the Office episode that we did last week, and you have been looking for an opportunity to have an office, quote unquote, of your very own, we are going to start a writer's office on our Patreon channel. And we haven't set the dates and times yet, but if you go and follow patreon.com/BeccaSyme, BeccaSyme, and follow it for free about how our writer's office is going to work, and you can be a part of that. We're really excited to have writers in that. So that's going to be our Patreon writer's office. on our Facebook page, the Better Faster Academy Facebook page, continuing to do some videos also. And we do free coaching on those videos. So if you ever want to participate in some of our free coaching opportunities, come and follow the Better Faster Academy Facebook page, and we will get your questions answered by our coaches. And we do those fairly regularly. So definitely follow us on our Patreon. You can follow for free. You don't have to pay to do that. You'll get all the notifications about special deals that we're offering to only our patrons, about any new levels. We will have a lot of notifications on there. It's basically where we house our email list for this, for the QuitCast. So please join us there. I hope that you all have a great week. I hope that you write or think or plot as much as you are interested in doing, and I hope that your manuscripts are getting finished gradually. Please do remember to reach out to us. We have new classes starting, and we're going to have some exciting things coming up in the future. So please keep an eye on our mailing list and our website for that information. I hope that you guys have a great day, and we will see you in the next QuitCast. Bye.